Welcome. I'm Christy King, your host of the FanReach podcast. Each episode features conversations recorded over several weeks with experts in the sports entertainment business. From former NFL players and current sports business experts Kenyon Rashid and Brian Jones to FanReach's leadership team, you're going to hear insightful and instructive observations on the present and future of technology in the sports business. I hope you enjoy this podcast enough to look for more great conversations from us in future episodes. You can also follow FanReach on YouTube and LinkedIn to keep up with the latest in sports mobile app technology. Let's get started.
For all of the things that we build them from the top up. We don't build them from the bottom up, which is the first thing I say is I'm a fan. I am a huge sports fan. BJ is a huge sports fan. So when we start talking technologies, the first questions we ask ourselves is, number one, would we use it? Would this work for us? Okay, now let me go ask my son, who's 23, because I'm 50. Will you use it? Will this work for you? Because if he says, Dad, this app sucks because it doesn't have X, X, and X, then I could say, well, I like it, but I'm 50. I only got 10 more years on the app scene. That's 10 more good summers, you know. But him, that's who teams and leagues are looking at. That is the future. And they think differently than we think. Meaning, we can watch a game for 3 hours and be engaged and be there. They want to watch highlight clips of the game. They want a summary real quick, and they want a reward at the end for me to just participate because their attention span is all over the place.
Right.
So if you want to attract them, my question is, why are we asking 50-year-old men what attracts a 23-year-old sports fan?
Yeah. The thing is, like we were talking about conferences earlier, right? Like I remember going to the MIT Sports Management Conference. In 2015, there was 800 attendees and 15 of them were women.
Yep.
And a huge whole half day theme for one of those events was analysis and data analytics and, those kinds of things for women's sports. And there was 15 of us. And I'm not an athlete. I haven't been since I was in the seventh grade. I mean, I'm a runner. That doesn't count, in my glorious opinion. That doesn't make for great TV. So it all comes back around to kind of what you guys are talking about, in that there's a combination of you've got a front office that may be full of business people that don't represent fans, let alone athletes, let alone the referees, and the other microcultures that all go around a sport. And so if those people in the front office don't look like that, they better have data about what the fans are doing and what they're spending money on and what they're interested in, or all they're doing is, you know, making a sport that looks like them instead of who's actually consuming the sport, right?
Yeah. Well, it would behoove them to delegate resources towards a department where that's their primary focus, is to amass that data on who their customer is from a holistic standpoint. And just like Kenya stated, you know, I query my younger sister, all this cutting of the cord. She didn't even look at the television. She lived with me for a short time when I worked up and lived primarily in New York. And I know she never watched television. Everything was done on her iPad or on her mobile device. And it's like, Did you just give up on television? Well, it's not suitable for me. And I can watch, you know, multiple things in an instance on this contraption, and more so than I can on television, even though we have smart televisions now and there are a lot more functionality to them. But why not work from the perspective of that fan who you're trying to attract? And that's ever changing, even more so today, especially with the advent of all this technology and everything pulling for the eyeballs of your hopefully future customer. You know, why not figure out the way forward from their perspective. And it's not dissimilar, as I said, when we were talking to the Washington football team, it's not dissimilar to amassing a football team. You work from the inside out. Yeah, you got a flashy quarterback position you need to fill, running back, wide receivers, cornerbacks, and all that. But good teams are built from the inside out, and that's in the trenches. Because if you can't block and you can't tackle, I don't care how functional that quarterback is, he's not going to be upright long. Mm-hmm. I don't care how swift, quick, powerful your running back is, he's not going to find any running lanes. So you build from the inside out, and it's the same with this technology piece. And as far as having a good sense of who your fan is and who they're transitioning to be down the road.
Well, but that's the challenge, is how do you know who your fan is if you are not interacting with it? That's what the fan reach and the mobile platforms are for, because we know everyone walks in the venue with the phone. I think what we haven't figured out is how do we segment these groups within these massive audiences, right? We know we're all Cowboy fans, or we're all Redskins fans. I mean, sorry, Redskins, the Washington football team fans, and we're all Giant fans. But within that ecosystem, you have people like fan segmentation, like me and BJ, who, you know, I'm not a big social guy. But I want to get into the venue. I want the quickest route there. I want to know where my food is, and I don't have a lot of patience. So what do you got for me? And I think that's how fans are approaching sporting events and sports and entertainment in general, is they want a curated, personalized experience. Yeah. They want to group with individuals that share the same perks, likes, dislikes as them. And they want you to know that before even talking to you. So how do you do that?
And that's the beauty with fan reach, is that customization. Exactly. And being adaptable and flexible. You know, allowing you to move around and adapt on the fly with that customer, and understanding that not all of them are alike. And how do I not only reach that fan that's in my venue, but the one that's outside of my venue who may never come to a game? That's another challenge. So we've got to have, you know, dual fan engagement resources, if you will, to encompass or employ a comprehensive program to go out and persuade those fans to continue to be our loyal customers.
And you're going to have to persuade them.
Yeah.
Because the viewing experience, if you want to get them out to your venue, why would I want to go wait in parking lines and long bathroom lines and worry about right. COVID when I have a 85-inch HD Gamecast TV that brings me highlights and everything else, and I can pause and go to the bathroom and eat and come back and pick the game up, fast forward, do whatever I need to do. So when you move it into a live environment now, what you'll notice is a lot of neighborhoods being built within these venues. People no longer want to be isolated sitting in their seats when they go to games. They want to congregate with each other in these livable spaces. And so it makes it extremely important that as they move through the venue touch points, that you are capturing that data without them having to do extra steps. So that's the power of fan reach within the app environment, is you literally can be going through on your marketing slides or reading a particular article or getting a particular camera angle, but that's telling us something about the user. All right. So we are capturing that information. Now, that data needs to be married to transactional data that is also happening when I go buy a Coke, or I buy a jersey, or I bought the ticket. But no one has married the two together yet, which is why we have siloed data ports that these teams are looking at. I have a CRM, but feeding my CRM is my ticketing, my parking. And by the way, that's coming through a third party vendor.
Right.
So it's not necessarily cleansed and put into a language that I can interpret and adapt and start to build off of in real time. By the time I know who you are and what you purchased, you've already left the venue. right? So I can't give you real-time relative experiences unless I have everything in a format that is cleansed and adaptable for me and my marketing team, my ticketing team, my parking team to start to be able to use while I have you with me. So I'll give an example. When we check in, so we buy a mobile ticket that's done through Ticketmaster's API, through a mobile app, all the team apps. That information and that transaction is run through Ticketmaster. They get that data, but it's not connected to the parking data. So when I check in, you don't know that I've purchased that ticket in advance. And by the way, I'm checking into your venue. If you don't have transactional data, you can't compare what that credit card was used with, the zip code. Is it a first-time buyer or have they purchased at my venue before? Because if it's a first-time buyer, I know then I need to be able to locate you and maybe provide you an experience to keep you to come back. Maybe that's a different experience than my season ticket holder who I know will be in my venue 8 games a year on the NFL side. That's what we call segmentation,
yep.
Right? Sounds easy, but there's a reason why it hasn't been done.
And that reconciliation you mentioned as well, trying to reconcile all that data on the fly as it's occurring, that's been a huge hurdle because there's so many impediments. And it, as a result of multiple vendors capturing this data, and now you having to somehow go to them and say, "Hey, man, give me my information. Can I get my information?" You know, just to make it plain, right? And then how long is it going to take you now to sift through all that, make sense of it? And that fan is long gone down the road by then.
Have you guys got into talking anything about 5G yet?
We know Verizon and the NFL is releasing the 5G experience at the stadium, but a lot of what's limited technology within the venue space and this kind of this experience has been networking. It's been the capability to be able to power these apps and power this data. And okay. So that's what 5G is providing, is putting it in a hand, and it's taking it out of the hands of necessarily the stadiums and the venue owners to upgrade Cisco networking systems to be able to incorporate this. The next phase of this is how do you incorporate the hardware environment, the point of sales, and to talk directly to your mobile devices. So you have a closed loop commerce platform. Mm-hmm. So that's in essence the start of this big undertaking that a lot of teams are looking at of, I think we want to do this. We understand what needs to be done. I think we're in a phase now that they're trying to figure out, okay, who do we need to partner? How do we do this? Mm-hmm. This is a complex problem and it's not going to be solved overnight because of the relationships and the business models and kind of how things are done today. The first thing that we're telling teams is to rethink your strategy organizationally. Forget about the technology and everything else. What do you want to accomplish across all of your divisions? And how can we unite that under a mobile platform? And some things are doable, some are not. Some teams are limited because of sponsorship relationships, because of legacy technology. All of these things exist. So you can't come up with a unified strategy for everyone. You literally have to talk and listen to teams individually to understand their ecosystem before you propose a solution. That's different in how we normally approach clients in our industry from a tech perspective. Our job technically is to go out and tell you what our technology can do, mm-hmm. right? But if we don't know what it can do for you, then 9 times out of 10, that technology sits on the shelf or it's not fully optimized at the client level. Mm-hmm. So what we are trying to do now with FanReach customers and customers that were prospects that we're talking about is to figure out and work with them to optimize the platform, optimize the objectives that they are trying to accomplish organizationally, not just from the digital department, but how does marketing drive digital? How does ticketing drive digital? We are all using mobile right now for some usage case. Some use case. So our job, if we haven't talked to the marketing department, is how are we going to help optimize them within our ecosystem if we never have a conversation with them? So we want to make it easier for digital departments that at the end of the day, when someone says, who's doing our mobile app? What are we doing there on the marketing? That they can say, hey, this is what we're doing. And by the way, marketing, you're trying to sell more sponsorships, we're going to give you marketing cards that allow you to show a sponsor how he's activated digitally within the platform. So you can actually show him digital assets as opposed to, hey, we're going to also give you a digital marketing asset in our app. But we want $7 million for that.
It's interesting to think about a team that finds something that works, some great idea, something awesome happens, right? And then that team approaches FanReach. Maybe it's data, right? Somebody's got some great piece of data they're getting out of their point of sale system or out of their, you know, some ticket partner. You know, you guys, FanReach really has to then approach this team looking at this partner that's doing something really right, integrating. Now, from what I understand for FanReach, that's really easy. Is that true across the industry, or is this something special to FanReach?
Well, I think it's unique because we always, you know, the best practices of this industry is sometimes not discussed openly, right? We can learn from each other. And really understanding what's working for one team or one client and being able to convey, hey, this is similar to what challenge that you have. And by the way, we have a use case that can give you actual data on the performance of how this worked, I think reduces a lot of the risk that a lot of these teams face that feel like they're siloed out here by themselves. They don't necessarily share data and share best practices like some industries. And so really the integrators and companies like FanReach who are interacting with partners at the same time and interacting with clients and seeing things in a higher scale can provide more insight of to what's working and what's not working. Because as a team, before I start a campaign or I start to use something, if you have something to tell me, hey, this team X has tried this, this is how they activated it, and this is what worked, I'm not saying I would do it exactly the same way, but at least it provides a reference point that I can actually compare to before I start making decisions. Some companies that are tech-based companies allow, they don't facilitate that discussion. What we're doing by meeting with our clients and talking to new clients and really sharing best practices is really kind of innovative. Because every month we want to jump on, we want to find out what's working, we want to find out what's not working. And then we want to disseminate that information accordingly to our customers as a value proposition to them, because they don't have time necessarily to check up on other teams and do that on a 24/7 basis. So if we are providing that service to them, we consider that just a role of a partner that's in this position anyway, because we're kind of outside and we can see more. So why can't we provide that back on a scaled basis? And the more clients we have, the more knowledge that we can provide. So, I think it's very unique.
It makes me think of teachers. You know, teachers are always exactly that they never get to find out what's working or not working once they get out of school, because they never have time to be in another teacher's classroom.
Well, I think that is 99% of the problem with this.
Right.
The challenges. I wouldn't say a problem. I say our challenge is heads are down. Heads are down, rightfully so.
They're not built
to
know what's out there, to tell you the truth. And that's favorable to companies like a FanReach. Yep. And what we always say is view us as your outsourced resource, vetting companies and making sure they're a fit for whatever needs and objectives you have. So that's how we look at it, as we're an extension. FanReach is an extension of your digital department, you know, your tech department, because we have an understanding of where you want to go. And now we can go out and find the pieces if they're not already in house. And for the most part, they are. They're in our toolbox. But if not, we can now go out and mine for those things that are needed to meet your goals. So that's how we view it. We're an outsourced resource.
And if you look at, and I'll say this, we are in a reactive industry. Mm-hmm. We react. Hey, new AR product. Let's throw it in. Where do we put it at? Let's put it in a mobile app. Does it fit? Well, we can make it fit. But the user suffers, because if you look at some of the app experiences and some of the reviews of mobile apps in the sports industry. It's a bunch of junk that's been thrown together that doesn't necessarily work for everyone, but it's there, right? Because this Team X wanted this trivia game, or they wanted this AR thing. And without really understanding how they fit into the overall context of your information infrastructure. So you have to take that step, I think, in order to make sure that those pieces are a fit. And I'm not saying that we make that decision for you, but we can at least advise you on how it works, right? And then you can make that decision. So if it works, you at least have all that information and that understanding and expertise that we provide that analysis for you up front, as opposed to after it's already put in there. Because there's a lot of things, and if you look at the evolution of apps in the venue and sports space, just imagine what it was like just 5 years ago. Just take a look at an app that was put out five, and now look at it today. And what you see is they've added a ton of stuff, a functionality, right? So as you well know with technology, when you start to add functionality, you lose reliability sometimes. And if you lose that reliability to a fan, some fans don't download the app again.
Right.
And then all of this talk about conversions and data and everything else is out the window. Because if you can't get a fan to download and use the app, which is the first step in all of this, then we can have a conversation every week. We're going to be talking about the same thing. So what I want to do is, first step is, again, help teams, like we've been in conversations today. How do we get people to download the app and keep it and use it?
To your point, it's probably not the fancy AR thing.
No.
Unless you're 15. But it's probably the parking, the tickets. Where do I buy my hot dog? How do I find the one bathroom in the arena where I can nurse my kid?
Yep.
You know, it's the stuff like that that'll get people to download it. Then once they have it, some of the fancier stuff like gaming or betting or the halftime shuffleboard, whatever, then it's like, I already have it, so I'll do the cool new thing.
There are simple things that we could put in play to engage fans. One, and this is the first phase, to get them in to download the app, and then to keep them there. And now hold their hand as you walk them through and give them a tutorial of all the things this app has to offer. And hopefully you can keep them there. You know, if you have the right, let's say, blinking shiny lights throughout the year, keep them there all season long and afterwards.
It's the Disney experience. So, Christy, right. I'll give you an example. So this is an idea and a concept of Marriott, how things. So when teams say, well, season ticket holders are not coming to the stadium because of COVID, how do we reward them? How do we give them perks, right? So movie studios now are partnering with sports networks to advertise their movies, right? So imagine this. Imagine your season ticket holders having exclusive release to a movie a week early through their app to watch the movie. But you have to have the app to watch the movie, which means that it's the player that you're watching. Now, everything around that movie is all team. But for your season ticket holders, if you do a deal, which is, by the way, money for you because they want to sponsor and get to your users, you now can deliver that experience through the app, and you're giving them a week early on the experience. Now, how do I know this works? Because the studio is doing that right now with NBA All-Stars. Now, we know that because we're actually talking to everybody on the NBA side and the All-Stars and the players. And they're like, hey, man, all we got to do when we go to the hotel is download the NBA app, and we get to watch the movie Boogie that nobody else gets to watch at that time. Now, that's sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Okay, so why hasn't it been married? Because the sponsorship team is not necessarily looking at a movie studio as a category partner because they don't know how to activate them, because they don't know that capability is available to be able to do that in the app and control the content at the same time and build out around it. So again, it's almost like you need an agency approach to technology to get an outcome that you are asking for. And to do that, you have to talk to agencies. You got to talk to marketing teams and understand their best practices outside of sports and be able to apply it to what's happening inside these platforms. So when we take a holistic view, we give these terms, and I always like to break down the terms that we look at. When we say holistic, we don't mean just looking at your technology stack. We mean looking at your best practices around your technology to get to an outcome. And at the end of the day, we see the outcomes as the same. Either you want to attract and engage someone new, someone you have, and you want to drive them to some sort of outcome, buying a jersey, buying a ticket, buying parking, watching a video, voting, polling, whatever it is. But the first step is I got to engage you enough. I have to incentivize you enough to you to use this as more than just your mobile ticket. Because right now, that's where we're at. Teams have made it a point to say, if we're going cashless, we know you have to use a mobile ticket, which was a hard push anyway, because who likes to be told what they have to use to get into your venue, right? Unless you make it easy for them and it's a utility and it's not a hindrance, because maybe I don't have apps on my phone or maybe I don't use apps. So these are the things that, again, conversations that I think are very productive for us moving forward, because we see opportunities that merge these things together to produce these outcomes. And the faster we can produce the outcomes, the faster use case we can share with other teams to actually be able to do it faster.
I just read today that DraftKings and Dish Network announced a sports betting TV product. Did you see this?
Well, we saw it back in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
So in 2001, was that 2001? 2002, I was in a Vegas sports book with a real-time play-by-play betting system by the name of Sports Action. Allowed you to bet every play. You go give $100 to a sports book, you go back to a terminal, you could bet as the game was going on which of these three receivers would catch the ball. Odds were tallied in real time. It was done for money, right? It was just in Vegas. I approached the owner. I said, I think we can do this as a game and contest piece. And he said, well, what are you talking about? This is no way a game and a contest piece. People won't pay for it. This is when fantasy was in its infancy stages. Got the owner, approached him, represented him like we're doing fan reach. 5 months later, we had a 14-year, $250 million licensing deal with Kirch Media to release it on Global Interactive Gaming in the UK on interactive TV with SkyBet. Same thing we're talking about today. It was ahead of its time. And even though UK were ahead with interactive television, the whole idea of having one general screen, the challenge with that is sometimes you want to watch the game. You don't want to interact the game. So the question is, what is interrupting your viewing experience and what is not when it comes to gaming? But eventually we saw back then the ability to take your remote and bet on each play.
Yep. So now to your point, now, you know, fast forward, it comes back again to this discussion we keep having about understanding what your viewers want in combination with technology. So 5G opens up so much spectrum that you can now afford to have just a straight feed of the game. A whole nother channel, if you will, that you could switch to on your phone easily of, you know, highlights only or the main feed plus a player who's not playing that week commentating. And then one of those other choices can be, you know, a game type interface like you're talking about, where if you're over 21 and your state allows it, that you can start actually gambling pennies, dollars, whatever, and off you go. But to you know, to bring it back around, a mobile app is really, I think, the only technology hardware piece I can think of where you could provide unique experiences for each kind of data user that you're tracking, including people that aren't even at the venue.
Well, there's no doubt that gaming is the new frontier, and it's becoming more recognized in society at large than it once was, of course. It was relegated to the confines of the Vegas's and Atlantic City and other places that where it was legalized, and now it's coming on board numerous places. And so does it have that stigma that it once had? And I think there are going to be still some challenges. One issue is going to be a latency issue when you're talking about real-time predictions or real-time bets during a live event. That's going to be a hurdle we have to address. I think the main issue is whether or not, you know, no matter what type of broadband you have, you know, can I play along with that? With that game in real time, or that event in real time, without any latency issues, and you know, I think the numbers right now, when you look at the data, I think 1 in 4, 1 in 5, are all for gaming during a live event, and these are the numbers that some of the broadcast entities have been able to glean from their polling. So right now, it's just 1 in 4 or 5. I think that's going to continue to grow, but it's coming. There's no doubt about that. You've seen leagues, you've seen teams hitch their wagon to certain gaming entities. And so they're in full force right now. And also, you look at the percentages as far as how the numbers have jumped during this COVID tenure we've had to endure over the last year. I mean, certain sports are up 300-400% in gaming. So I think it's going to play a larger force in the sports world down the road. It's not there yet, but people are making those partnerships right now because they know where we're headed.
And so, and then an investment in that is segmentation right now. We're in a stage of segmentation. So how do you get segmentation? You get segmentation through engagement on the phone to figure out who is that 1 in 4 that doesn't want to bet or wants to bet. And so we can't bet today because it hasn't been unified on the mobile side from the team level. The gaming companies that are partnering with teams are doing it more from a data play right now. But the data play is going to lead to segmentation to start using them as affiliates to start identifying which one of those bettors that want this second screen experience or want this on-app experience overlay. At the end of the day, one of the advantages that we've seen over the last 10 years is the second screen experience. Used to be when I first started talking about this, it was a single screen. It was unheard of for somebody to have a phone while they're watching the television doing stuff on their phone. Now I see my kids, they doing homework on their computer while watching television and on their phone at the same time and can manage all three. I don't know how, but they are somehow able to concentrate like that. So we have all of these different ways to engage. What we don't know, and why you see gaming contest piece and you see things that are saying, hey, this prediction stuff, are you open to it? Because there's a reward at the end. Maybe it's not money. Maybe it's a Coke. Maybe it's a jersey. Maybe it's a private one-on-one with Brian Jones. Well, never mind that. We don't want that, but some sort of valuable thing, you know, something valuable to a customer. But if you can start to mine those rewards and start to move users in the understanding that I get a chance to interact with this game I'm watching, which is rare. If we really ask fans what they want to be a part of, they want to be a part of what's going on. Right. And that's really what gaming represents. And so we see the device as an agnostic device, the mobile platform and FanReach as an agnostic device. It is your point of sale. It is your betting station. It is your informational station. This is your entertainment view, all in one place. Mm-hmm. So it's a situation where I will tell people, we are the car. FanReach is the car that drives you there. You may have a different air conditioning. You may replace the radio. You can have upgraded tires on the car, but the car has got to be built for you to get there. We are that car. So what we're trying to do is say, okay, radio stations, betting companies, payment companies, let's attach and let's make it easier for the user to drive this car and get to places that they want to be.
Well, thanks for joining us for this episode of the FanReach podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. It's always a pleasure for me to hear the unique perspective on sports entertainment from Kenyon and BJ. not many of us, had the talent to play professional sports. So I feel like it's a pretty instructive experience to hear how they see the industry, having participated in sports as players, commentators, business owners, consultants, fans, and parents of fans. And now, as experts, helping us more clearly see the intersection of technology and entertainment. Be sure to follow FanReach on your podcasting platform of choice, or YouTube and LinkedIn. That way you can keep up with the latest in sports mobile app technology from FanReach.